amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. What a blessing it's been already just being in the Lord's house. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, as I mentioned last week, that we'd be starting a new series on Sunday evening, and this morning as well, we mentioned that, and the idea is how do we deal with stress? And so many are in a position that they just don't know what to do with the circumstances and situations of life. And stress is something that is very much real and that everybody experiences. Everybody experiences stress. And sadly, though, very few know how to handle it. And I think as we look to the Word of God, we can understand it. And if you understand it, then you can better address it. And if you know how to address it, then you can not only learn how to handle it, you can actually turn it into a blessing. You can actually benefit from it. And so as we go through this, I trust it'll be a help to you as we go through this series. I don't know exactly how long we'll be in it. I know it's just as long as the Lord would have us to be. But stress, the definition is the physical pressure, pull, or other force exerted on one thing by another. The physical pressure, pull, or other force exerted on one thing by another. And as we think of stress, some synonyms for stress would be linked to anxiety. You could use anxiety a lot of times in dealing with things as you could use the word stress, oppression, worry. These are some things that are very closely related to and somewhat have the same effects. But the one thing that we need to understand is that everybody experiences it. Don't think that you're going to have a stress-free environment while you're living on this planet Earth. We try to develop that. And then we try again. And we continue to make attempts on vacations. And you think it, you got it all planned out. And this is going to be the greatest vacation ever, stress-free. And more than not, you'll find that that becomes more of the most stressful things because things don't go the way that you planned on them. And it's something that all of us have to deal with. But it's not what God planned. It's not what God planned for humanity, but it would become a part of our physical existence. And let's look at this. So what we need to understand then, starting off, if you're going to learn how to deal with stress and then not only overcome it, but benefit from it, you have to go back to its roots. Where did it begin? What drives it? Okay? We somewhat looked at that this morning when it comes to winning and living the Christian life and not turning back and turning away from it. The roots of the Christian life is very important. Most important thing is the health of that Christian life. It has to do with the roots and the same as the foundation. And so tonight we're going to be looking at where it came from, the roots of stress. And so if you'll stand with me, turn to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 down to verse 19. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, down to verse 19. The Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his head. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles it shall bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we love you, Lord. Thank you for making a way for each one of us that are here to be here tonight. And Lord, I thank you that each one here took advantage of that opportunity. And I pray that you would meet with us in a special way. We thank you for what you've already done and through the music and the specials and just being in this place. But now, Father, as we look at this passage of Scripture and we are wanting to understand this idea of stress, and I pray, God, that you'd help us to see where it came from, that we might understand the roots of it, so that we might ultimately be able to deal with it and overcome it, and yea, even benefit from it. Bless now in this study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The beginning of stress. The Bible gives us an account of the beginning of everything. And what a blessing it is. By faith, we go back, we read it, and we understand that God has revealed it to us as we can understand it, so that we can understand where we came from and ultimately where we are going. And so we find here in chapter 3 and verse 6, the beginning of stress started right here. The Bible says, And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Now she got all that from the devil. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Before that particular verse, before God revealed to us what took place in sin, they had a perfect relationship with God, and they had a perfect relationship with each other. In Genesis, in chapter 1, after God had created all things, and then he created all things for man and woman, he first created man, and he revealed to him the things that he had created for them, and then so that he might have an appreciation for the helpmate that God would create for him, He created out of his rib his helpmate, his wife, and he placed them in the Garden of Eden. And can I tell you that the Bible says here, chapter 1 and verse 29, and God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat," and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God's evaluation of paradise, God's evaluation of the Garden of Eden, God's evaluation of man and woman together in the Garden of Eden, God's evaluation was, it was all good. It was very good, meaning that there was no stress. Truly, the stress-free environment was what God had created. Because, can I tell you, there is no stress in heaven. And the Almighty God that we look to and serve has never stressed. For he's in control of all things. He's created an environment that is stress-free. So we find here that that was before sin. God says, very good. Just the way I had it envisioned, it's what I wanted for humanity. He created the heavens and the earth and went through the days of creation, and then he placed man and woman there in this environment. And everything, according to the very evaluation of an Almighty God, was very good. And then we find in Genesis chapter 3, after the temptation, the sin. After the sin, we find that they lived in a stressful situation. It wasn't the actual environment that changed. What changed was what was going on inside of them. In verse 7, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." We don't know how long they were in the Garden of Eden and how long that they enjoyed a stress-free environment and enjoying what God had created for them. But we do know that right after the sin, as God would come and as a custom, he would walk with them and fellowship with them in the early morning. The Bible says that mankind was created by God for his good pleasure. And God wanted to fellowship with humanity. And God wanted humanity to look to him as their heavenly Father. And so he created such an environment. After the sin, we find that the first thing that happens inside of them is they were aware of themselves. And they were aware of the other. And the first thing that they started to do is because of what was changed inside of them, and they could actually understand. They were sinful now. They had this sin nature. And they seen things differently than what they did before they had a sin nature. And the first thing is, they looked at themselves. They started looking at the other and wondering now what the other thought of them and what they thought of the other. And we find that they immediately, because they did not approve even of how they looked and how they looked to each other, they started, the Bible says, they sewed fig leaves together. I mean, can you imagine? They didn't have any kind of clothing. There wasn't a need for clothing. They was in a stress-free environment. They had perfect thinking. They had no evil thoughts. They seen themselves as God wanted them to see themselves, but now with a sin nature, all of that has changed. Now they see themselves as sexual beings. And they see themselves in the sexual beings that God created them to be, but they now it's tainted by an evil nature. And because it's tainted by an evil nature, and that very same evil nature has passed down to all generations, understand that we will have evil thoughts concerning nudity. But they saw themselves, first of all, and then they was thinking about the other, and who knows what kind of stress went on, but from no worries to total worry to anxiety and oppression. First of all, about their thoughts of themselves and how they looked. You ever get stressed out about acne? As a teenager, you know, you finally hit that teens and you think you've always wanted to be that teenager, but then you realize that there's a lot of changes that take place in the physical body when you become a teenager. And for the most part, if they don't understand a lot about this changes in the physical body, they'll start looking at themselves and thinking themselves unworthy to anybody else to look at. And they see themselves with acne, and then they say they try to hide. They don't want anybody to see it, and they want to go out and do whatever they can do to cover up the acne. And they see their body themselves, and because of sin nature, they say, well, I'm not as pretty as somebody else. And if you have curly hair, then you say, why didn't I have straight hair? And if you have straight hair, you think, why didn't I have curly hair? We went through that with our two daughters. I wanted to take Crystal's hair off of her and put it on Sheree, take Sheree's hair off and put it on Crystal, and say, there! But it's how you see yourself. And the sinful nature wants you to stress out thinking that somebody else is prettier than you are. Somebody else has got more than what you have. And you're looking at yourself and you start stressing out over not being as pretty as somebody else. Where does that come from? It comes from the flesh. It comes from the sin nature. It comes from the thoughts of humanity. It is real. The society we look at, we live in. More today than ever before, a glamorous society. And you have to look like the models, and you have to look like those on television. And that's not real life. But if you think it's real life, if you think that everybody else is perfect, you're not going to see yourself as God wants you to see you. Understanding that He created you. He's the one that wants to use you in a certain way. So from no worries in their relationships with each other, from no worries about themselves, to total worry, anxieties. Can't imagine. I mean, they've never sewed fig leaves together. Especially now, how do I fit these around my body? How do I sew these together to cover up? And made themselves aprons. And then the next thing they do, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They hid themselves. From a perfect relationship with God to a now not so perfect. Can you go back and remember the stress of broken relationships? I remember even when I first was a young teenager, the girl that I thought that I would marry, thought that we'd be together. I mean, I dated her maybe a month or two, but we were destined for the rest of our lives only to have an older high school boy sweep her off her feet. And I was rejected. And I thought, my life's not worth living. It's over. I'm 13 years old. My life is over because my life depended upon that girl. And even at that age, I remember somewhat thinking, might as well just end it. Yeah. I've lived 47 years after that. I realized after a few months that really it wasn't all that good of a relationship anyway. But it was rejection. It was a failed relationship. And with failed relationships comes stress, anxieties, even being oppressed over that. And then you live longer and you might have to go through a divorce. You have to go through sin, possibly adultery, possibly whatever it might be. And you see yourself with a failed relationship. Stress, anxiety, oppression. And Satan would love to use that to say that you don't have a purpose for life any longer. Your purpose was with that individual, and now you're alone, and why even continue to live? And today we find that many of them say, well, if I'm going down, if she doesn't want me, I'm taking her life and my life. How many times has that happened? If I can't have her, nobody's going to have her. If I can't have him, nobody's going to have him. And they'll just kill themselves and the other person themselves, and sometimes even the children. Evil. But where'd it come from? Where'd that anxiety, where'd that oppression, where'd all that? It came from that sinful nature. And realize, we have to realize the root of stress, where it came from. They hid themselves. There was guilt in the relationship with God. And then we find in verse 9, Lord called. Now, God knew exactly what had taken place. There's nothing that God does not know. He's a sovereign, omniscient God. He gave them a free will. He wanted them to choose to do right. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Where you at, Adam? Where you at, Eve? Did you get what you thought you was going to get? Do you feel like gods today? He knew exactly what their thoughts were. He knew exactly what the temptations were. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Fear causes stress. Not the fear of the unknown, not knowing what's going to happen. I wonder those that did not heed the warnings in Florida to leave because of the hurricane was going to make its way on the land. And they showed pictures of that, of course, through via television. We can see it all, and we can wonder, why would anybody want to stay when the warnings, and they know that so many are going to die if they stay, they will die. I mean, there's just no protection, and there's no one that can come and help them. I wonder how many that stayed, and possibly even those that perished in that. I wonder what kind of fear when those winds started blowing over the buildings, busting out the glass windows of their houses, throwing cars, flooding the area. I wonder what kind of stress they had in facing the fears of not knowing if I'm going to make it through this or not. Very real. Very real fear. You ever been in a fearful situation? Maybe you were robbed. Whatever, what it might have been, can you connect the stress with the fear that you had? Sure you can. Because fear brings about stress. And Satan wants to get us to live a life of fear. remember our kids were a little younger, and we went to Florida, and we found a secluded area of the beach, and it was going toward evening time, and we just walked across, went out there, no one was there, and we just was looking at the ocean and different things. And then we started to come back, and I had a rental car, and I'd locked it up before I left, but it was coming back, and I started feeling and no keys. And I realized, I put my hand in my sweats and went down, and I realized there was a hole in my pocket. And it's getting dark, and I have my wife and two girls. Now, if it's just me, I would not have stressed out as much. I can handle whatever. I can live on the, I could sleep on the beach. Or. But I've got the responsibility now of taking care of a wife and two children. And there is no, they didn't have cell phones back then. Amen. This is before cell phones. And places were closing down because it was getting toward the evening. And I remember fear. Not as much for me, but what would happen to them. We're out how many miles away from home? No one to, no way of calling, nowhere to go. And that fear brought anxiety, and that fear brought the stress. And I just remember praying, Lord, you got to help me here. I don't know what's, I should have checked, made sure my pockets didn't have holes in them to start with. But that's gone past. I can't go back and do that. And God, he opened the door, and we seen a light and a business there, and was able to go in and use their phone. And I happened to get a locksmith that was able to come out, and he got it, let us in the car. So it was all fixed. But the idea there, fear, I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what we were going to do. And I just started praying for wisdom, for direction. Fear causes stress. Not only that, and this is Adam and Eve. This is where the roots of it. This is where it's coming from. He shows us already here that this idea of guilt and broken relationships, this idea of looking at myself, looking at others, and looking at this and being afraid, that didn't stop there. Look at verse 11. And he said, "Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree?" Oh. Have you ever been caught doing something that you shouldn't be doing? And maybe a parent is looking over you and say, "Did you eat that?" You got chocolate all over your face, you know. Oh no. Or maybe later on you got by with stealing before, and now you've got caught stealing, and there was an undercover police officer inside the building, and you thought it'd be all right, you've done it before, and you got caught for shoplifting. And it was fun until you got caught. And then you are afraid, and you're stressed out, and everything else has taken place. You see yourself a lifetime criminal going to go behind bars. "Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Got caught doing something he knew he shouldn't have done. And the man said, "The woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave it to me." Blame shifting. You don't want to accept the fact that you were wrong, and you try to blame it on somebody else. You try to say, "It wasn't really my fault. He made me do it. I never would have done that if that person hadn't have drugged me in there and forced it in my pocket and forced me to walk out," whatever it might be. And so now you got caught, and now you're thinking, "I've got to blame somebody." And the stress of having to address your own sin. Got caught in a lie. You see, because sometimes in the early beginning, you might get by with a lie. And you say, "Well, that turned out good. I got out of trouble by telling a lie. I told them what that I wanted them to believe. It wasn't true. But I wanted them to believe it. So I told it to them and they believed it. Wow, that's pretty easy. And you think that that kind of sin is easy and it's good until you finally have somebody that calls you on that. And now you have to face your own sin. Very stressful. Very stressful when you have to face your own sin. And then you try to blame shift. Not only did Adam do that, but we find the woman, and God said, "The woman whom thou gavest to me," and the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me." It's the serpent's fault. She was stressed out too. She was guilty before God. She had committed the sin, and now she has a sin nature, and things have changed. The relationship with herself and the relationship with her husband, the relationship with God, it all had changed. And the stress was now a part of their lives. Well, that's the root of sin. That's the root of stress. That's where it all began. Can I tell you tonight what I want you to see, understanding where it began? There's many things we're going to be dealing with that, but that's the root of it. What's the end of stress? Now, God did a lot with Adam and Eve there, and there was grace, and there was forgiveness, and there was a lot of things there. But ultimately, they would have to live on this planet Earth in a sin nature for the rest of their lives. But the end of stress is found in verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and into dust shalt thou return. The good news about stress is there's an end for many. The bad news is you must die a physical death. Yeah. I did say for many, because it's only for the redeemed. For those who are saved, when they die a physical death, it does eliminate, takes away stress, because you go on to be with the Lord. And can I tell you, that will be the first time we'll ever experience a stress-free environment. Hallelujah. No more sin nature. No more sin. No more stress. For the lost, it will be a more stressful environment than they could have ever imagined. They don't get rid of the stress. They just have to deal with an eternal stress. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. That's what we find in Adam and Eve. He tells them that this is your life and that you will die a physical death. In the book of Revelations, we find here that the Bible reveals to us in chapter 21 for the saved. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." The way that God had initially developed it, the way that he created it. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." All of those former things that create stress. "He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. He shall be my son." That's for those who get saved. We have something to look forward to. Not only heaven, but the end of stress. A stress-free environment. Then in verse 8 he says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Things that are associated with the sinful nature of mankind. Things that cause stress in our lives. Shall have their part in the lake of fire, in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. So we find here in the beginning and the end. But before we leave tonight, and again we're going to be dealing with a lot of things, what was most important for Adam and Eve to do in dealing with what they now had to experience, the sinful nature and the things that associated itself with this sin in their lives now? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12. First of all, Adam said, I did eat. When it comes right down to it, the way to handle stress is beginning with a true confession of sin. And the very same thing with Eve. Once she tried to blame shift, but at the end she said, I did eat. I did eat. How do we handle stress? First of all, understand where it came from. Understand it's how Satan will get victory in our lives if we'll let him. But God can strengthen us to overcome the stresses in our lives. In closing, in John chapter 16, let me just read it to you. You might write it down. But John chapter 16, this is what Jesus says. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. When you're overwhelmed with stress, you don't have peace. When you're overwhelmed with stress, you don't have joy. But he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So in our lives, the first thing we have to look to is we need to confess whatever sin might be in our lives. We have to confess, first of all, our sin nature and our need for a Savior and get saved. And as we get saved, then you're on your way to learning how to overcome and actually benefit from whatever stress it might be in your life. Because now you're a child of God's, and if He overcame, we can overcome. And God can use it to strengthen us. The way that they were to overcome and finally end the stress in their life was a physical death. Today, as we look to Christ, we need to die to self. Die to the old nature. Die to sin. And become alive unto Christ. And when you are walking with God, when you are in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everything you have need of to deal with stress. In Christ, there is peace. In the world, sinful nature, there's going to be stress. Now, we live in the world, but we don't have to take part in the world. We can overcome by surrendering our wills and our hearts and our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Crucify the old man, amen, and turn ourselves over to the new man. And you'll find, as we continue on with this, we can overcome whatever roots of stress that we have to face. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Just understanding where it came from, how Satan has used it for all these years in the life of humanity. And there is illustration after illustration after illustration as you go through the scriptures, reveals to us how Satan has used this. But in Christ, we can overcome it. I don't know what kind of stress you might have in your life right now. I don't know exactly what's the cause. I know the root of it, but the cause and what Satan is using to bring the stress, maybe it's failed relationships, maybe it's unconfessed sin, maybe it's pain, whatever it might be. But I think the most important thing is to turn it over to the Lord. Ask for His help. Ask to be strengthened. To overcome this tool that Satan uses. No better place, no better time than right here and right now. Father, we bow before You. We love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. I pray, God, that as we have just begun this series, that we would have a clear understanding of where it came from, how it was introduced to humanity. And Lord, as we continue studying the different examples and illustrations and help that You give to us, I pray that it would be something that would possibly help us to overcome much that has overcome us. I pray that You'd bless now this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.